Blog Talk Radio.
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble, but if it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for the county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. Now we might have been better off our own to figure out if Daddy'd done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty just to live in his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with tonight. He'd say, you've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. I know that things are different than they were in Daddy's day, but I still believe what makes a man really hasn't changed. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on. Hold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. All right,
everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I'll be your host, Ron Golden, and the Constitution Hour is brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's PatriotFamilies with a YS.com. And YOLA, that is high fructose corn syrup, is what they use in most of the sweetened beverages, and it is bad mojo. It is worse than refined white sugar. That is what I was referencing with HFCS in the chat room. High fructose corn syrup. You're better off drinking some of the natural sugar products than you are the high fructose corn syrup. It's just much more concentrated than even refined sugar. I had to play that song tonight, and I wanted to dedicate that song to the Bivens family out in Nevada and all the folks that showed up in support of them and against a rogue agency of a rogue federal government. And imagine my excitement, ladies and gentlemen, as the news is slowly but surely getting out, and it's starting to penetrate a little bit through people's noggins. Argument is all about with the Bivens family and this property that is in question here. And I did catch the clip with Mr. Bivens on Glenn today, and I was worried about the direction that Stu was trying to take him, because you know, you see, it's a terrible thing in this country now to discuss sovereignty, right? Because if you dare to say that you are a sovereign individual, that we the people are the sovereigns that created government, well, then you might just be a nutcase who's part of that sovereign rights movement group of crazies, you know, conspiracy theorists. Oh, but since we've couched it in different terms, you know, and because Glenn was supportive of this before they allowed it to continue on the show, it really comes down to what we've been talking about on this program for a very long time, since the beginning of this program. It's what prompted me to come on the radio. It's what prompted me to join Patriot Families and to try to educate people. You see, there's this thing called jurisdiction. And there's also some other things that come into play. And it's important that we understand who we are, who the government is, jurisdiction, where jurisdiction arises from, and what is being done in your name. Now, many of you who've listened have heard me talk about the 14th Amendment, have heard me talk about something happened in the Civil War. There was a change. Something changed. The contract, if you want to call it that, changed. And it's interesting to me. You've probably also heard me say once or twice that the Constitution is not a suicide pact. So it's pretty simple. You know, the Civil War, we are told, was fought because no state had a right to secede from the Union. And there have been numerous court decisions supporting that rhetoric. And if you've paid attention, you may have even heard me mention on more than one occasion, there is a legal maxim at work in the construction of our Constitution that was different than the standard legal practice of the day. What I mean by that is the maxim or rule at law that is generally accepted under common law is where the law is silent, the activity is acceptable. In other words, if there's not a law specifically prohibiting growing marijuana, then it's perfectly legal. The Constitution, however, was written and constructed in such a way that if it were not explicitly provided for in the Constitution, it was off limits. It was unlawful. So that's kind of turning the maxim, the standard of law, on its head for the purposes of our Constitution. It was if it was not specifically delegated as an authority or power given to the newly formed government, then it could not be assumed to be allowable. In fact, the Tenth Amendment tells us that all the powers not vested in this newly formed government are reserved to the states and the people, respectively. Correct, Mr. Rod Luke. So, you see, we began this journey with an understanding, and the founders, those people who were together at the Constitutional Convention, and those people who were elected to the first Congress, they fully understood this. They accepted it. It was argued diligently throughout the Constitutional Convention. And it was one of the reasons why the Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights, was insisted upon being included for some of the states' delegates to agree to ratify that Constitution. So, in the first administration under President Washington. They knew full well that there was no provision in the Constitution that authorized the creation of a central bank, a national bank, or a congressional bank of any sort. That authority was not granted. They had the authority to coin money. Now, coining money was a pretty specific term. It didn't say printing. They had the ability to print back then. In fact, they were printing continental dollars. So if they intended that Congress had the power to print money, they certainly had the ability to include that into the document, and it was specifically not included. We have to assume at that point that that was done intentionally. Then Alexander Hamilton, the Treasury Secretary under George Washington, the first one, he began to convince his fellow colleagues that there's nothing in there that says we can't do it, so surely we can. And he was persuasive. And guess what? We got the central bank for the United States. I don't want to get too far down the rabbit trail with some of the questions in here. You know, when we talk about the form the Bureau of Land Management, I don't have a problem with the Congress appointing a manager to manage government territories and possessions, government property. That's public lands for we the people. It belongs to us. And we should have somebody to oversee and make sure that that land is taken care of and not just left to the whim of society at large. But when we look at that creation of that first central bank, that was unconstitutional, ladies and gentlemen. And it violated the principle under which the Constitution was drafted and ratified. Congress did not have the authority to do what it did. You know, Jefferson, in the Louisiana Purchase, he questioned himself whether or not he had the authority to make the Louisiana Purchase. There is a section in the Constitution that authorizes Congress to dispose of property that's owned by the United States. Again, we go to the formation of the state of Nevada, which was in 1863, and those of you that may be students of history will know that there was a presidential election afoot. Now, one of the things that they were pushing for is to get statehood granted to the Nevada Territory so that they could help ensure the election or re-election of then-President Abraham Lincoln. I don't imagine there was any cronyism going on in that deal. Nonetheless, as I understand it, the founding documents for Nevada, the land was supposed to have been sold by the state of Nevada. And when I say the land, I mean the 86% of Nevada's geographical landmass today was still owned by the federal government. And as part of the act, the state was supposed to sell those parcels of land, and they would get a percentage of the proceeds of the sale of that land. They were establishing quiet title to the property. Property was, they say, given to the United States by Mexico. Kind of interesting that it was given. I think it was taken by conquest and ceded over in a treaty, if you will. So I don't argue that the federal government can or cannot own property. They certainly can. But what Mr. Bivens was standing on is common law and jurisdiction. And that jurisdiction lies with the state, not with the federal government. The federal government only has a cursory claim to that land because the state of Nevada has not sold it yet. So if the state of Nevada has the right to sell that property, then they are at least co-owners in that property, if not sole owner in possession of that property. And the federal government, based on our law, has no jurisdiction outside of the 10-mile square known as Washington, D.C. But we can go back to 1791 and the act and declaration by George Washington to the Senate that established districts, made each of the states then existing, which would have been 13, made them federal districts. Well, then when we see that we're going to apply the equal footing doctrine that came along in the 1840s, that perhaps Nevada has equal footing with all the other states as they were, in that it's really nothing more than a federal district that was declared by George Washington in 1791 before the Nevada Territory was even known to exist. So you fast forward through 1864, 1865, 1866, we come to 1867 and the Reconstruction Acts. Pretty soon we find that we have a 14th Amendment that's ratified. Whether or not it was lawfully passed doesn't matter. And we have this thing called the Incorporation Doctrine. Now I'm going to direct you, if you have a pocket constitution, I want you to start at the very beginning, Article 1, Section 1. And we've talked about this in the past. Flip through that Constitution, and every time you see mention of the word citizen, underline it for me, if you would. And I think you're going to see something that in law is called conspicuous. When something is conspicuous, it stands out from the rest of the document. It's giving you some kind of constructive notice that there's been a change here. And that thing that's conspicuous about the word citizen in your Constitution is that every mention of citizen prior to the 14th Amendment, citizen is capitalized with a capital C. And beginning in the 14th Amendment and every mention thereafter, it's in a lowercase c. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that means that there was something changed in the status of a citizen. And that change must have occurred with the passage and ratification of the 14th Amendment. Why else? How else can you explain the discrepancy? It's certainly not a typographical error. It's certainly not some of the nonsense that I've heard in the past that, well, they put your name in all capital letters because it's easier to type it on the typewriter just in all caps. That's just the biggest bunch of bull crap in the world. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, the reason it changed is because the status of you as a citizen changed. What changed is you were no longer a sovereign individual who was an active, willing, free participant in a society, a union of free and independent states. No, sir. You see, the Constitution says what it means, and it means what it says. And the Supreme Court ruled very early on in one of the first 14th Amendment cases that, and I'll read you the amendment, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Now, the Supreme Court of the United States said that that last phrase, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, did not mean subject to the concurrent jurisdiction. No, it meant and could only be construed to mean that it was the exclusive jurisdiction of Congress in assembly. So it would appear that the passage of this 14th Amendment with the reconstruction of the new Union, kind of a phoenix rising out of the ashes of the original Constitution, if you will, you have arising out of those ashes a new Union, a national government. Brian, I probably sound different because I've been ingesting and inhaling pollen, what I refer to as tree semen, in mass quantities, and I've got a pretty, my throat's pretty messed up right now. So, hey, we can do the Wolfman talking at you. Yeah. Anyway, it is very important. These things matter. And you see, this is what Mr. Bivin was fighting about out there in Nevada. It wasn't just about his cows. It wasn't just about paying a fee. It was about the fact that the federal government was trying to exercise jurisdiction and authority where it possesses none. You remember me talking about the thing down in Arizona? And the federal district court was granted jurisdiction by Jan Brewer when she showed up and answered to their nefarious BS charges on a law that was solely within the boundaries of the state of Arizona. It's just that simple. This is more to do with individual rights, states' rights, and jurisdiction. The federal government and all the alphabet gangs, the BLM and everybody else, they have zero jurisdiction within the geographical boundaries of a state. And they can't create a federal state within a state that also is unconstitutional. There are specific purposes for the federal government to own property within the boundaries of a state, and that is laid out also in the Constitution, and it's supposed to be done at the behest of the federal government with the acquiescence of the state legislature. And it's a purchase agreement, and it's for specific things, for forts, docks, arsenals, and other needful buildings. That's how it's laid out. It's not for national parks. It's not for 600,000 acres of open range. That's up to the state. Now, if the state wants to charge a fee to the farmers or the ranchers, they're certainly within their prerogative to do so. Mr. Bivens agreed with that and paid the state with no qualms whatsoever. It was only when the federal government got involved and tried to bully him around. That began in 1993. And if you listened to his story, what I found very interesting, and I know this to be true because I have seen this time and time and time again when it comes to federal cases where the federal government is either the plaintiff or the defendant. 1993, Mr. Bivens is in court with the BLM, and Mr. Bivens and some of his neighbors, they hired some scientists and they had a scientific study done and they had their facts straight. They had all the information and they were handing the BLM their backside on a platter in court argument. It doesn't matter. And that's exactly what the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of Justice, the DOJ attorneys, told the court when they saw that they were losing, they said, you know what? It doesn't matter because this court doesn't have jurisdiction. And out the door they went. Now, understand that it's a federal court. And it's a federal prosecutor and a federal attorneys and a federal judge. And they just said in the end, you know, this court doesn't have jurisdiction. And they walked out. They're a law unto themselves. And the law only applies to us. And it applies in a manner in which they deem necessary and beneficial to the state. The end. So that's why I played that song this evening, because I wanted to pay tribute to Mr. Bivens and all those folks that stood with him and stood up to the Leviathan. And, you know, I've heard people saying, oh, they beat the government. Well, they may have won the battle, but they haven't won the war, ladies and gentlemen. The war is marching on. Make no mistake, it continues, unabated. Bivens is just not even a pimple on the backside of the Goliath, the Leviathan, that is our federal government. Son of a gun. Guys, pardon me, I'm going to play a song while I catch this. I'll be right back. Across the highways of fantasy, because ladies and gentlemen, it is fantasy land that we have entered into, is it not? This is like the Twilight Zone. You know, I understand Miss Linda and you guys talking about the Agenda 21 in the chat room, and it is just the beginning. Got news for you. This is only here. You're just seeing the very beginnings of just pulling at the corners of what's going on and what's fixing to go down, I do believe. You know, I thought I had posted the blog article on Patriot Families, but I guess I did not. And the blog article was Why Now? But indeed, it's still a question I have. Why now? And what I mean by why now is, you think back, we had savings and loan scandals in the 80s and 90s. We had some banking scandals. We had Enron, right? No, that was utter corruption. And then we moved into the 2000s, and all was quiet. We had the dot-com bubble burst, and the wine was flowing. The free money was flowing, and it was like the roaring 20s, only it was the roaring 2000s. Then we had the housing market bubble pop. And there was some finger pointing at Bank of America and Wells Fargo and a few others. There was even some whispering of a MERS scandal. Anybody remember that? Mortgage Electronic Registration System? Yeah. Never really developed into much of anything, but I promise you there was plenty of indictments to go around. Had the federal prosecutors and the federal government wanted to actually enforce the laws, there should have been a lot of people going to jail. But now we see something on a much grander scale. LIBOR, right? We've got the LIBOR scandal. We've got the gold rigging of the market on Commodities Exchange Commission. And now we're seeing, how many bankers have we had mysteriously die or commit suicide in the last month or two? And then we've got J.P. Morgan settling several cases, billions of dollars. All of this very public and in your face. We had the crisis in Cyprus. We've got Europe in chaos, Japan on their last breath still. The United States in recovery. cough. And then we've got Obama's statement about crossing a red line. And then this Ukrainian invasion by the old arch enemy, that dear old evil Vladimir Putin and those evil communists. But wait, they're no longer communists. They should be purely happy that we collapse their economy, and all of these countries should be thankful and grateful to the United States that they've been able to ride the coattails and import all our inflation. Jeremiah Wright said something about chickens and coming back home to roost or something. I don't know. That could have been an off-color statement. I'm not sure. But I wanted to read you a little something here. Reports out of Moscow indicate that Russia is on the verge of signing the holy grail of gas deals with China. The deal between Russia state-owned gas firm Gazprom and Beijing would see as much as 38 billion cubic meters of natural gas per year flowing through the first proposed Russia-China pipeline by 2018. The agreement has apparently been in the works for years, but recent events on Moscow's western flank, Ukraine, has moved the timetable on the plan up dramatically, with the last sticking point being the price. If the deal is signed next month during Putin's state visit to China, as many analysts are speculating will happen, it will be a significant event, not only economically, but geopolitically. Now, we know that we've talked about on this very program the fact that there's been a lot of talk about Ukraine and bailing out the Ukraine, let me back up. They didn't exactly use the term bailout, did they? No, we're talking about sending economic aid to the Ukraine. After all, they're under attack by our arch enemy, the evil Soviets. So, of course, we need to send them $1 billion. Our benevolent Congress, they're so benevolent with your hard-earned money that we need to help these poor, downtrodden Ukrainians. Never mind, ladies and gentlemen, why the Ukrainians are poor and downtrodden. It seems that, the Ukraine government owes a lot of money to Gazprom for natural gas. Now, I don't know exactly how they do things in the Ukraine, but I do know that here in the United States, when you have an entity, a utility company, whether it be a gas company or an electric utility, whomever, that, wow, I don't know what's going on with mine now. Everybody's talking about the server reconnect. Come on, let's get it going. Anyway, whether it be an electric utility or a gas company or whomever it is, you know, you get a gas bill every month, presumably. And one would certainly assume that if you want to continue receiving services from that company, you're going to have to pay your bill. So you're going to send a check to whomever the supplying company is. Now, in this case, maybe it's the Ukrainian government. So let's assume that, you know, two-thirds of the people were able to pay their bills. What'd they do with the money? How is it that they're so broke? And I don't know what's going on with the server here. I don't know if you guys can still hear me or not. It looks like our chat room is down for the count. And I hope that you can still hear me. But who knows? I'll continue trying to load the doggone thing. And maybe we'll just cut the whole program short. The point is, guys, you're being played. We've talked about this before. You're being played. Your government is playing you like a $2 fiddle. Obama sits in the White House. Well, okay. President Obama goes to China and Hawaii and Italy and wherever else he wants to gallivant around on our dime while Rome is burning. It's ridiculous. Why now? Why this, the timing? And I'm going to bring up Miss Linda. How are you, Miss Linda?
Fine. How's it going? Oh, boy.
Not too bad. I didn't know if you guys could still hear me or not. The daggum chat room's down.
Yeah, I can still hear you, but those kids, they were getting weird things, and it said not connected to server or something. So
yep.
They might have to call in or whatever, and your name's not on there. So I don't know if
you know the whole
chat room.
Yeah, the whole thing. No, it's dead. The chat room's gone, and the whole thing is crazy because when I was trying to log in, it
Bill
said
and I
that
are
my,
the only ones left in there.
Okay, it was telling me that my host number was not correct. And I know
I can actually hear you on my computer. So sometimes other people's computers are not meshing with BTR or whatever.
Sure. What's on your mind?
It makes you crazy, but I'm sure that others can hear you because I can hear you on mine, whoever's out there in radio land. But when you're talking about our people here, you know, I mean, if they're going to have stupid bureaucracies, why don't they just set up a bookkeeping agency and say, okay, you're in charge of paying China's bills and you're in charge of paying Ukraine's bills. I mean, why go through the machinations, and why not just directly send it to the, you know, to the one that supposedly has, I don't understand. I mean,
and
you know.
You got to ask, how do these bills come about? Because presumably, I'm just going on a limb here and assuming that I would think that the federal government would not be actually involved in any foreign trade other than supervising for, you know, tariffs and levies.
Yeah,
why
but,
would
know,
the government be trading commodities with another country? The government is not a business. It should not be in the business of selling commodities, grain, or anything else. That should all be privately
water.
Done by private individuals, sole proprietors or you know, corporations, not the government.
Yeah.
So how in the hell do we have this debt to China? I've been asking this for a while. And how do you pay a debt with a debt or buy a debt with a debt?
And why are we why is our taxpayers and our stupid country responsible for Ukraine's debt to China? I mean, we can't even pay our own. It's sick. And that's another. There's a whole bunch of theories out there. I know InfoWars had one and a few others on this land grab in Nevada.
I was being facetious. We know how the debt is incurred because China buys our treasury bonds that are issued by the treasury to raise money. But
they're not doing it anymore.
Well, you're right.
As far as I know.
We're buying our own. Kind of like Japan.
So, we're so screwed. But I really think that I don't know the history of the BLM people. And it's possible that it was needed when they had range wars back then. But like every other one, like the EPA had some good, these things should be sunsetted and revisited and totally reevaluated. But with what we've got going on for the past 80 to 90 to 100 years with these people, because we have been remiss and we haven't stayed on them, this is what happens. They grow into these giant octopuses, and then you allow something like the United Nations to sit in New York and literally govern us to death. This is how this has happened. And then they got ICLEI running around to 600 or 800 counties and cities in the United States, dictating what kind of roads you're going to have and stupid roundabouts. I'm done with it. That's where this is headed.
When you look at something like Bivens' case, okay?
Right.
You can go back. You know, there was a great series on, and I don't know if it's going to be coming back on. I hope it does, because I rather enjoyed watching it. One of the few television shows that I like watching that more closely based in reality than most anything else, and certainly more than reality TV. And that was a show called wow, really? That's weird. The show was called Hell on Wheels.
Huh.
And what it was about was the movement of the railroad to the west during Reconstruction. And this Irishman who was an SOB who was running a corrupt corporation called Credit Mobilier, and the crony capitalism that was going on out of Washington, D.C. to move the railroad and to push the railroad. And, you know, they make all these great things in history about these great capitalists that built the railroad and opened the gateway to the West. And, oh, horse manure. They were paid on government frickin' contract, and they were no different than these scumbags over in the Middle East and Iraq and whatnot that, you know, don't change the motor oil on that $100,000 diesel truck. Just run it till the engine seizes up, set it on fire, and we'll get another one because the government's paying for it.
Yeah.
Because you're on a cost-plus contract, which means that whatever it costs you to do business, you get paid that cost plus 10% or 20% or whatever you're negotiating. So you don't care. You know, it just, why bother maintaining your equipment?
My
just
God.
Buy new equipment, because it's all paid for anyway.
It is pretty heinous. And then they have the cojones to accuse us of not being good stewards over things. It's time to scream.
Yeah.
I was watching Stossel on government overreach until I had to turn it off because he had some yahoo on there. You know, the one who made sense was Yaron Brook from the Ayn Rand Center, but the other ones I wanted to throw shoes at. So I just changed the channel, and I was reading my books. So
if you get the urge to throw a shoe, you got to wait till Hillary's in the room.
That's correct. Oh, Lord. And then you have to look like Khrushchev when you're doing it. Who else was throwing shoes? I guess.
Well, you know,
Bush dodged a shoe.
Bush dodged a shoe in Iraq, so...
That's true. Yeah, I got to hand him one thing. He had good reflexes.
He actually dodged the damn thing. Clinton couldn't believe.
Well,
like, did you try to throw that?
First thing she said, Oh, I would have had the best comeback for that one. She says, is that a bat? No, honey, you're the bat. Oh, God, I hate her. Oh, she actually said that. I heard it on tape.
Oh, yeah. No, I heard it.
No, you're the bat, you old bat. Oh, God. I can't believe
she
this.
She said, it's a good thing you didn't play softball like I did.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that wasn't a hand grenade.
I tell you. No, it's and then now there I keep seeing more and more push for this idiot Jeb Bush. I swear, I need to have an air sick bag strapped to my chin. I can't take much more. I will get pictures on posters and put horns on both of their heads and whatever else I can derogatorily put up. I can't take it.
I'm telling you, I wish to God I could find where I had that link saved because they had it laid out, and I saved it intentionally because I thought, you know, that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, and it was during that whole SPP.gov and the Trans-Texas Corridor and NASCO corridor and the Security and Prosperity mm-hmm. Partnership for North American Union. I'll get it spit out sooner or later.
Okay.
When I read that Atlanta was designated to be the new capital,
and that
Jeb Bush was going to be the president.
Oh my God.
And I thought, now that's an interesting prophecy right there. And should it come true, then I know it's time for me to fly, just not to Malaysia.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, and of course they haven't found the plane, and I'm kind of glad that's died down a little bit. But that's going to be one of those mystery things. Huh?
They never will.
Yeah,
Elvis and Lee Harvey Oswald are flying on that plane right now.
There you go. Oh, man. Well, you know, they kept seeing all, they said that the Indian Ocean was the garbage dump of the world. And I thought, well, instead of a Malaysian plane, I know what should be down at the bottom of that ocean, but I won't name their names. Boy,
I agree with you there.
Because I, like Yo said this, like you said, that people should be in jail, and I said that we better build a lot bigger jail because there's so many. The list is so long of the evil ones. I mean, and it's daily. They just, it's like water, Chinese water torture, pardoning the pun, but, and they just won't let up on us, and it's getting old. It's really good. That's why people are, you know, and I don't like to see the violence and the anarchy, but, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't know how this is going to play out and whether this was partly a test, whether that they're trying to keep usurping the land and naturally doing the Agenda 21 and saying there is going to be no private property ownership anymore. You know, they want everything off limit to humans. They keep pushing this stuff about tortoises. And it's a huge lie. I call it out every day on every blog I can because that's what they're doing. They are completely overstepping bounds. They have no authority to do any of this stuff. So.
Yep. And, you know, we just keep giving them permission.
Well, because
I was so glad to see this guy Bivens stand up. It tickled me to no end. And I was trying to tell you that the chat is back up and working, so.
Okay. All right. Well, she must be in the Patriot Family one. Yeah, she could be. It's up and working good. That's a shame. But yeah, sometimes it just kicks you out and you don't even know why. And it was even doing it to me, and I think that's what happened to you if your screen went blank.
Indeed.
Yeah, it gets crazy. So,
yep.
I don't know. I mean, and then I know even Glenn was talking about, he said, how many, you know, like tell me one time in history, just one time, that when people print money like we're doing, that it ever turns out well. That was just prior to his gold line advertisement. But I think he's correct, so it's time for me to grab some more of the real deal, the round
coin.
Well,
you know, and the thing is, if you really look at it and think about it, honestly,
mm-hmm.
nobody else will buy the government crap that the government's printing.
Right.
Except those of us that don't have a choice,
mm-hmm.
Those sovereign citizens, Americans, yeah, we'll buy that shit because we can't deny the bill.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, who knows, Ron? I mean, I, like I said, I don't want to see it turn into a French Revolution, but I don't know where it's going.
Well,
I
think that Mr. Bibbins was a good example of what we need to see more of in this country and what I've been talking about. Just say no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to consent to your crap anymore. No, no, no.
I agree.
And when they saw that, hey, you know what? We're either going to have to kill these people or walk away.
Yeah, and see now, because everybody's on to this, you know, the Pravda lying media, they know they can't shove that Waco lies down their throat and their Ruby Ridge lies down their throat anymore because no one's going to believe them. We got our own media now. Nobody's watching. I'm not even watching Fox.
No. Nope.
I just did a Nielsen survey, and they're going to send me some stuff, and I'm going to definitely tell them. I used to watch Fox, but I don't like it because it's not telling me the truth. You know, you can take that box and your Nielsen ratings. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's nothing on there. It's a wasteland.
Yep.
So now that I'm just, you know, I'm half listening to stuff just to have noise in the room, and I've got my good books, I'm racing through these books, you know, pretty well, and I've just picked up The Real Lincoln, and I'm just going through the, you know, first preface or forward. I know, no, I haven't even got to the part that's going to make me really angry, so I just got to the forward and that thing, and then I've still got, the one after that is the giant one, which is 700 pages, and that's Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, because I've always wanted to read that one, so.
Well, you know, and I do the same thing with media. Now, I'll keep on. I listen to my buddy Mike Church in the mornings from 7 o'clock. Well, I leave here at 6:30, so I turn him on in the car. And then he's on until 9, and then I listen to Glenn from 9 to noon. And then I turn on Alex Jones from noon to 3.
Wow.
And it's mainly in the background.
Sure.
I don't sit and listen.
Right, right.
You know, I'm working, I'm doing stuff, so.
Sure. You're catching.
But I did listen attentively today when Mr. Bibbins was on because I wanted to hear what he had to say and see how he was treated.
Absolutely. And I think, look, nobody knows the whole story, but it just seems to me that he's, to me it sounds like he's on the right track when he's talking about how do these people have this authority to just say that they, I mean, to me,
he's absolutely on the right track.
Yeah. You know, they're usurping authority they don't have. They say they own this land. They've got 50% of the West and 80% of Nevada. Now, what the, you know, and this is what makes us crazy because we know, we kind of know what the end game is, or some of us do. And I'm telling you, they do not want private property ownership. And that's why I wanted to put it all together, and things have kind of gotten waylaid. I'm about 2 weeks behind in all my projects, but I did start. I highlighted the portions of James Madison's thoughts on private property. I've got factual scientific fact in Mark Levin's book regarding the what he calls the envirostatus, talking about carbon pollution, and basically not calling it Agenda 21, but laying it out as what it really is.
Sure.
And then I've got Sandag in their own words, you know, how many cars your family, by 2040 or whatever, you're going to be allowed to have, where you can travel, and how many times a day. You know, and that's what these people want. And it's all spelled out in every one of the general plans in the entire state of California. That's why, and I finished the book by Rosa Corey. She's up in the Bay Area with her friend Heather Gass. And they have been fighting this for eons, and she wrote behind the green mask. It's pretty comprehensive. She gets it. She knows what's going on, and she tells people how to fight it. But it's California. It's almost a lost cause. There was a huge article, what they're trying to do in San Diego with these small areas, like there's a huge area called Little Italy, and there's, you know, but then they're literally telling you that they're going to have these special streets, and it's going to attract more people, and it's going to be more walk friendly and all this nonsense. It's all Agenda 21. And what they're proposing, I'm not kidding, they even had a picture of these murals that are disgusting looking. What are they trying to do, imitate downtown Tijuana? It's ridiculous. And they're all excited about it. So they, what was funny, they actually put an email in there and said, if you want to weigh in on this, please contact us here. And I said, oh, they're going to be so sorry. They put that in the paper. This is when I get done with them. I'm not kidding. I'm going to tell them what I think in certain terms, you know.
Well, I want to shift a little bit back over to this thing with Russia, because I find it very interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
Why now? That's really the question. Why now?
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading this article from Bill Holter, and, you know, I got to say, I agree with him. I think he's spot on. And he says, so far, all of what Russia has done has been to take the high ground from an international perspective. They've not shed blood and not even shut off gas supplies for non-payment. They have, however, gotten exactly what they have desired, to be shut out of using dollars. Think economic sanctions. Remember what I told you guys. We were going to impose sanctions, economic sanctions, and remember the premier who said they would boomerang, and what did I say they were going to do? Oh, well, how can we repay your loans that were made to us in dollars if we can't use your dollars, because you've seized all of our dollars? So you've seized all of our dollars, and we no longer can use them, so we're just going to have to use rubles. Sorry. So you must ask yourself whether or not, if the Saudis feel the same way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they happy with the deal that was struck over 40 years ago? Is it still a fair deal to all the parties involved?
Yeah, see, that's what you have to ask.
Let me leave you with these thoughts, he writes. As I have maintained, we will have a reset of values one way or another. Gee, where have I heard that before? The reset will more than likely be preceded by some sort of bank holiday, shutdown, or whatever you'd like to call it. But the important thing is that everyone will be locked into place with wherever they are, whatever they're holding at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
In Russia's case, they will emerge from the reset with the ability to provide oil and gas and get paid in whatever the new currency is. They will get paid, and they will get paid in something more to their liking. Mr. Putin is merely giving this process a little nudge by having sanctions placed on him. Meanwhile, we know that China is buying what?
Gold.
Lots of it. Wonder what they're going to do with that. You know, because going all the way back several years ago, 2007, this was talked about, and the buzz was put out then that the new currency was going to be 40% gold-backed. Why are they going to have it 40% gold-backed? Because they want to satisfy the von Mises crowd, the Austrian economic gold bugs, so to speak. But that's not going to be satisfactory, because we know that any derivative of 100% is less than acceptable. We've got to have an honest currency, honest weights and measures, or you're just bastardizing the whole thing all over.
Sure.
This time you're going to wipe out the debts. Everybody's going to start on equal footing, right? And all the money is going to be 40% gold-backed. So it'll take three times as long to get to, and we have a new term, folks. You heard it here first, peak debt. We've heard of peak oil. We got peak debt.
Oh, my God.
That is critical mass. I've talked about it forever and a day. Peak debt. That's where we're at. The system can't handle any more debt. There's nowhere for it to come from. There's not enough new production in the world. If you take the sum total of all the money circulating in the system right now, and you take the sum total of all new production, all new gross domestic production globally this year, won't be enough to cover the damn interest on all the debt money in circulation. That, ladies and gentlemen, is peak debt. That's critical mass. That's game, set, and match. It's over.
Oh, my God. That is not a good thing. So on the home front, what's your thoughts on not having super bilious to kick around anymore?
Well, you know, until I see her ass in the stockades,
I know
she needs to be kicked around some more. We need to start holding these people accountable.
I know.
Okay, and there needs to be some accountability, and that's got to happen if we're going to be taken seriously. We've got to push for it.
And I agree. I mean, there should be some not waterboarding, but you know, the rotten fruit thrown at them at least.
Look, they need to be held accountable for the office that they held. They held an office of public trust, and they have betrayed that public trust.
Right.
That needs to be punished. I'm sorry. But, you know, she did not act in the best interest of the American people, period.
And did you hear that one thing she said a couple months ago where, I don't know if she's talking to Trey Gowdy or somebody, and she says, or a reporter, and she said, well, the people, you know, the people that I work for, you know, is not the general public. That's how they think. She thinks Barry is her personal boss. Yeah, excuse me?
And see, that's where her shortcoming is. Yeah. Well, someone needs to make sure that she understands that actually you do work for the American people.
Yeah, you know, it's like...
And you did a piss-poor job of it.
You need to get their attention. We need to get their attention, and I think that, you know, a baseball on a mule's head comes to mind. You know, they just, you want to slap them because they're so arrogant and full of everything, including themselves, you know.
Oh, sure. Well, they think they're untouchable. And you know, I don't think it's any mistake that Obama happens to be president at this moment in time.
No, of course not. Oh no,
just
this
saying.
Was planned. Yeah. That's why they had that little meeting and told Hildebeest, "It's not your time, dearie. You must step down."
Exactly.
I mean, they knew what they were doing there, and I think the stars were aligned. They knew it was going to happen. I mean, they probably didn't have it right down to the NASA eyebrows, but with their central planning and the way they can control and manipulate things,
the beauty of it is they know the lemmings are going to go along with it just because he's one guy. So,
it was on the Blaze, and I think it was on Real News, and somebody was kind of tattletailing on the lame brain Marxist media. And what these people do in their morning meetings is they look around the table and they go, we're talking about Barry. How can we protect him today? This is their life. This is exactly what they live, eat, and breathe. And it's disgusting. It's such a banana republic. You know what I'm saying? It's just sickening.
Well,
so that's what's going on. And someday, you know, you can run, but you can't hide. And
my wife pointed out the other day that my daughter-in-law's father, his wife is a stewardess on an airline.
Mm-hmm.
And she posted up something on her Facebook page. She had a Marine on her flight.
Mm-hmm.
And she made some comment to him. And he works at the Pentagon.
Oh, wow.
And he and I'm going to paraphrase here, he told her, lady, you don't have the first idea. We are being sold as we speak. He said, why don't you ask me about my planes that have been flying gold out of this country?
Jeez, my God. Wow.
And it's going down right now.
Yeah. Jeez. No wonder Germany couldn't get their real stuff back.
No. And is it any coincidence that we get a report that, you know, 36 tons of gold was flown out of the Ukraine for safekeeping and Iraq purchased 36 tons of gold? What a coincidence.
Yeah, it's sickening. Yeah. Do they really think we're that stupid? I guess they do. I mean,
they know we are. We've proven it time and again.
Well, yeah, the majority are. But, and you know what? Even if half of us are three-fourths, they probably wouldn't care.
No, they don't care.
But you know what? Like you said, even if they don't believe in him, someday they will. That's day I'm looking for. You know, like I said, they can't hide. You know, there's no. You're not going to get out of this, you know, with a fully intact, resurrected body like Christ did. So get over yourself. And whichever way you decide to go, you can't take your gold with you either place. So what's the big deal? It's just
You know, yeah go back. Like I said, it's only money. It's the principle of the thing that ticks me off. But in the end, it's only money. Whether it's gold, silver, whatever it is.
It's just a commodity. Yeah, it's just a thing. It's an item.
It's a tool.
You know,
it's just a tool.
Like now, everything else we have and look at.
You know, Bill had mentioned earlier the blood moon. And I know there's been a lot of talk about this blood moon. And I've got my take on it, and I'll let you in on it. Now, first of all, and I don't mean to cast dispersions on anybody, but I don't believe John Hagee to be anything other than a heretic and a liar. And the reason I can say that with 100% assurance is I have seen the man on video deny Christ.
My gosh.
He preaches that Christ is not the Messiah for the Jews. And he questioned if Christ, he said, was the Son of God. But all that aside, Mr. Hagee in his proliferation of these four blood moons, he relies on scripture, Acts 2, 19 and 20, which reads, and I quote, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. End quote. Now, he takes that out of context because he's trying to apply that specific passage to the four blood moons that are going to occur, one of which is on April 15th. How ominous could that be, right? That we're going to have the first one on tax day of all days. How appropriate. But in that very same passage from Peter's discourse on the famous day of the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, tongues of fire appeared above their heads and they spoke in multiple languages. Miraculously, a large group of international visitors heard them speak in their native languages, meaning they weren't speaking in some odd language. They were speaking in foreign dialects that these people understood. They heard them and said they're speaking, you know, Swahili or Spanish or French. Or some of the local religious elites accused these tongue-speaking disciples of being drunk at 9 a.m. in the morning. And Peter replied to them. Peter replied to them, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, that great magnificent day. So what Peter's telling them is, guess what? This thing that Joel talked about here, that's what you're seeing happen right now, today, in the time that Peter and the disciples were given the Holy Spirit and they were speaking in the tongues. He's telling the crowd, ha ha, you dummies, don't you know what you're witnessing? This is what was prophesied. So what's that tell you? That day was at hand right there. It was beginning. Mm-hmm. Not today.
Wow.
Not in 2014. And it was fulfilled, I believe, when the city of Jerusalem was utterly destroyed in AD 70. So, I mean, that makes sense if you know mm-hmm. the history and you know what was in the scripture and you know what they were talking about. And Peter turns to them and says, no, don't make that mistake. You're missing the point. And it wasn't 40 years later that none of those mm-hmm. people were there talking anything because they were murdered. They were slaughtered by the Romans.
Right.
So, yes, the blood moon is interesting, and I think it may be as a reminder. There's nothing in Scripture that says that we cannot repeat or that God is restricted from repeating certain things. No, he's certainly not restricted at all. I certainly can't put him in a box. But when you see someone professing these things, you know, there is a test for those who are prophets. And the test is that they got to be 100% accurate. If they're 99% accurate and 1% inaccurate, they're a false prophet. It's just that simple. And Mr. Hagee has been backpedaling.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he said before was that this was coming. And now what he's saying is that something big is about to happen. Well, now, something big is about to happen is a lot more broad than this is the second coming of Christ and the four blood moons are foretelling it.
Right.
You know, that's pretty specific, but now he's trying to walk it back. And something big is about to happen. Well, you know, I can predict for you, ladies and gentlemen, right here today, that something big is going to happen in the next 15 months, probably more than one something big. That's not a difficult prophecy at all. In fact, it's not a prophecy. It's an educated guess based on current events, and it has nothing
right.
to do with whether or not the moon is going to be a blood moon this week.
Okay, Ron, I'm going to let you go and wrap it up and get back in the chat room, and thank you for doing a great show.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling in. Sorry that our other listeners and chat room folks had trouble in the BTR chat room. You know, that's one of the mysteries of our great technological advancements is they don't always work like we'd like them to. And they're certainly not as intuitive as I would like them to be. But then again, I don't know that I really want my computer reading my mind.
Yeah,
that could get messy.
Okay.
That could get really
tomorrow,
messy.
God
bless you, Miss Linda. Folks, I want to remind everyone, tune in here tomorrow night. This same spot right here at Patriot Families, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for Mr. Bill Strong and Chad and Lonnie and the guys up in Indiana for the Hoot and Holler Show right here at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. right here, Patriot Families, for Miss Linda Sills from California. God bless her. She needs all the help she can get out there. With Right from the Left Coast. And then 6 p.m. on Thursday night, Eastern Time, for our lovely Miss Terry Rowland with Patriot Education. Yeah, I've got just a few. Yeah, I've got like 10 minutes or so left, 13 minutes. So I wanted to get the intros or the promos out of the way so that I can finish up the show without interruption and I don't forget to do that at the end. And yes, absolutely, Bill. Right here tomorrow night, Hoot and Holler, 7 p.m. I want to apologize to you guys for the problems with the BTR or Skype or whatever the glitches were that we were having. The chat room was totally defunct after about 20 minutes of the show. Just silly things. Maybe it's the blood moon. Maybe it's the blood moon coming in that's got us going there. I don't know. And you're okay, Cal. I'm still here. I'm not gonna jet out of here just yet. I'll sit here and ramble on for another 10 minutes or so and maybe play a little song to take us out. But I really hope you guys will dig into looking at the monetary end of things and what's going on there. Pay attention to what's going on over in the European Union. Europe, almost all of Europe is dependent on Russia for natural gas. Now, that's a bad spot to be in if you're an Italian or a German or if you're Polish even, because the majority of the natural gas that goes to Europe flows through Ukraine. So it's pretty certain that Russia is in the driver's seat when it comes to the deal in the Ukraine. And why do you think that they chose the Ukraine to begin with for this little fiasco? And the timing of it to me just is not suspect at all. It's pretty obvious. Why now? What's not so obvious is whether or not this is all contrived and planned. Who knows? I don't know what to tell you there. I don't know who to believe or who to trust, but I can tell you one thing. We have reached peak debt or pretty daggum close to it, pretty close enough, maybe another $1 trillion, maybe two. And if this, and let me tell you, if Russia defaults, if Russia collapses their economy again, that's bad news, because you talk about contagion, we could go back to those derivatives bubbles and they would pop and it's game over. There's just no other way to look at it than game over. And they're going to have to reset this whole mess if they want to have any prayer, any hope at all of trying to keep up the appearances of the status quo. I think we're going to need a little more shakeup. The American people are going to have to be scared, quite a bit more afraid than they are right now. And so will the Europeans. Of course, the Europeans, you piss on their head and tell them it's raining, they'll believe you. My God, look at what they've allowed in their country versus what we've allowed here. It's just frightening. But just keep your eyes open. Watch what's going on in the money world. You don't have to look at stocks. Stock market's a joke. I would never have believed in a million years that they would actually come out and admit on a national television program that the stock market is rigged. And what did they target? They were targeting high-frequency trades, right? High-frequency trading is that trading that's done by computer. We talked about that on my show. And I'm here to tell you that right now there is a move afoot by the Securities Exchange Commission and by the government, and they're going to start going after high-frequency traders, but only specific ones. But this is going to move pretty swiftly. And it's really going to shake up the stock market and the trading platforms. and it's really going to go after some of the day trading guys. So you better pay attention to that, boys and girls, because it's just another wrinkle in the story as we move forward. It's coming. It's here. It is here. It is not, we're not just looking for it. We're in it. And we better recognize it for what it is and prepare accordingly. Make sure that we're not caught off guard, blindsided, unaware of what's going on. That doesn't mean I think you should go out and bury all your money in the yard or, you know, go buy as much gold as you can get your hands on. I think you should have money in diverse places and liquid. Things that you can touch, feel, see, carry, eat, and drink. Those are the commodities that you should concentrate on. Things that are illiquid, that are electronic or whatever, you know, in some bank vault or safe deposit box, you might as well write those off as a maybe someday retirement plan, but you can't be guaranteed that you can get a hold of them. I know where my stuff is, and I can touch it, and they'll have to kill me to take it, and that's okay, too. That's okay. If they kill me, they're sending me home, and I know where I'm going, and I look forward to going, so I'm not afraid to go. It's all good. Don't be afraid. Stand up for what you believe in, and stop letting them push you around. Stop letting others dictate your life. And I'm going to play a little song to take us out, and we'll see you guys here hopefully tomorrow night, 7 p.m. God bless. Please you with my life. Show.